Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to 1 Peter chapter number 2. While you're turning there, let me just say a word. I appreciate all your prayers for us. We were gone last week, and it's a joy to be back. But I'm grateful. I appreciate all those that took over and took care of everything, and I know everybody did a good job. And I appreciate so much Justin, David, and Kurt. And pray for Kurt. He's preaching out today. And if you would, just pray for him. But again, I do appreciate it. I'm thankful that we have people here at the church. You can step up to the plate and help us out in our times of need. We had a wonderful time visiting with her family. Went back to Bradenton, the first church I started in. And I saw one of my young people that used to be in my youth group. She's 52 years old. That'll make you feel old. But this young lady was the most spiritual young person I had in my group. And she's still very spiritual. She interprets for the deaf at her church. And still serving the Lord, and we talked with her, and there's some things there at the church that's just not going right, and she sat there and wept over what was taking place. Here's a young, well, she's not young anymore, but to me, she'll always be a young girl. And she is brokenhearted because she sees the devil working. The devil is out to destroy. And I tell you, we need to keep our eyes open and turned on him. I'm going to address today the seniors, but again, Phil, please don't stop listening, okay? Because everything in the Word of God can apply to every one of us at any particular time. Been preaching on Wednesday nights on adding to your faith. A few weeks ago, I preached a little bit out of this text. This will be a little bit different today. But I want to read to you chapter number 2 of 1 Peter, verses 1 and 2, and I hope be a blessing and encouragement to you. The Bible says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all even speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." Our Father, Lord, we thank you today for the opportunity and the privilege we have to come together. Lord, we thank you for these graduates. Lord, we realize that they're about to enter into a phase of life where they've never been before. There's going to be experiences that they never even imagined could happen. But Lord, I pray that you'd give them the strength and the help. Lord, I thank you for parents that have raised them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, taught them the truth of the Word of God, and been faithful to see to it that they were in the house of God. And I pray, Lord, that you would take them and use them as they go into their next endeavor. Many of them will be going to college and, Lord, continuing their studies, and we pray that your hand be upon them, that you'd bless them, that you'd minister to them, meet their needs. We'll thank you for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. Graduation seemed like to be the biggest thing in my life when I was about to graduate. I couldn't wait to get out of high school. I couldn't wait to the freedom that I was going to have. I couldn't wait to get away from those school lunches until I'd been away for a little while and found out on the outside you couldn't buy a lunch for 35 cents and you couldn't get things like that anymore. And then I began to appreciate it a little better than I did. But once you graduate, it seems as if the chains drop off. You become an adult, at least you think you do. Even after I graduated, my dad had a little rule around my house. I don't mind you living here, but if you live here, you're going by my rules. And I didn't want that, so I moved out, but I didn't stay gone long. Come back and said, "Can I come back?" But you know, in life, we make choices. We need to make good, we make good choices, we make bad choices. I think today, in the life of a child of God, if you're saved by the grace of God, there's really only one choice that you need to make. And that's to love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul. It seems like that many young people today, when they get off to college, are drawn away by the world and the things of the world. There's all kind of peer pressure, and people say, "Do you really believe in that stuff? Do you believe that Bible is nothing more than a fairy tale?" Can I tell you today, the Bible is the Word of God. It's what'll help you when you're hurt. It's what'll help you up when you're down. It'll do for you what no other book can do, and you need to best remember what it is there and what it's there for. I encourage you with the Bibles that I gave you this morning. I want to encourage you to read them. They're study Bibles, study notes, things that will help you along the way. However, if you get to the point where you're not actively using it, please put it in a secure place and remember where you put it, because I assure you somewhere down the road you're going to need it, and you're going to go looking for it. And I believe God's going to lead you to the place that you need to be. You see, man is a complex creature. We're controlled by appetites. As you can see on the screen today, I'm preaching on the subject of developing a spiritual appetite. Although today, college kids, they get to college and they begin to tell you how you need to be cool. You don't need to believe the old stuff, and you don't need to believe the old man that was preaching at your church with the white hair. Don't listen to him. He's not telling you the truth. I tell you, there's one thing I am telling you today, and it's the truth. And you need to heed it, not because I said it, but because God's Word said it, and we must believe what He says. We're controlled by our appetites. Are we not controlled by what we eat? Oftentimes, food becomes a distraction to us in many ways. And we have to be moderate in what we do. We have to take care of our lives. And then there's the control of companionship. Many of you, and I hope maybe not too soon, but whenever it's God's will, many of you will come to the place in your life to where you're going to seek a mate. And I want to assure you that in order to seek a mate, you need to find somebody that is saved by the grace of God as you are. The Bible said, can two walk together except they be agreed? And I think one of the greatest decisions that anybody will ever make in their life is the person they choose to live the rest of their life with. We're on our 49th year, for which I'm grateful and thankful. But I was thinking about the Hicks yesterday as I stood by the bedside and Miss Hicks was weeping and said, we've never been apart. We've always been together. And yet we find after 62 years, it becomes difficult to leave the one you love. We're controlled by greed. We want things. We're controlled by rest. We're controlled by information. And by the way, there's more information today revealed than there's ever been. And men are seeking that, and in seeking it, we become controlled by it. Wouldn't it be wonderful today if we were controlled by a desire to know the Word of God? And I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but I want to assure you that there's good appetites and there's bad appetites. Most of our natural appetites are geared for one thing, satisfying our flesh and satisfying who we are. The bad part of having these is that they destroy our life. We seem to take necessary steps to feed our flesh, satisfy us. And I know you come out of high school, and boy, you feel like you're ready to take on the world. But I submit to you today, the world is ready to take you on. And it's going to do everything in its power. I mentioned the devil a while ago. And the devil's going to do everything he can to destroy your life, give you a bad testimony. And I want to encourage you today to remain faithful to God. Be true to God and do what God would have you to do. You see, we give in to the things that we want. I was reading a book the other day, and it said, we live in a generation where if I want it, I get it. And again, there's all kind of ways to get it, but I submit to you today, everything you get, you have to pay for one way or the other. And yet, if you're not careful, you can find yourself in a great bind. And so today, this morning, I'd like to take the passage of Scripture before us, and I'd like to encourage you, not just to the seniors. Seniors, don't feel like I'm just preaching to you. I submit to you, everybody in this building today needs to hear what I've got to say. Not hear what I got to say, but hear what God has to say from the Word of God. The first thing I want you to notice with me today is that there is a plan. God has a plan for your life. I submit to you today that all of us, God has a plan for our life. Whether you graduated from high school or whether you just started getting Social Security, God still has a plan for your life. And you need to put your faith and trust in Him. What is God's plan? Well, I believe we find it very evident in chapter number two, verse number two. The Bible said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. What is God's plan? God's plan is for us to grow in the things of the Lord, to grow in the Word of God. God's plan is for us to grow in Him. The word grow means to enlarge, to grow up. I know today you've probably heard that sometimes as a child. Your parents or some preacher or some Sunday school teacher said, you need to grow up. I say it today not in an angry way or a mean way, but honestly today, everybody at some point in their life needs to grow up. We need to come to the point anymore where we put away childish things and begin to do the things that is godly and those things that are right and those things that God would be pleased with in our life. It's God's plan today for all of us to reach spiritual maturity. Not saying today that you haven't, but I don't believe any of us have ever reached the point that we need to reach. And I believe we can always continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in order that we might know His Word. In God's plan, He saves us, and when He saves us, we're just like little babies. Today, when you get a little older and get grown up and graduate from high school, yeah, my mother always told everybody, she said, this is my baby. Even when I was weighing 200 pounds, she said, I was her baby. But the truth of it is, I didn't like that. I didn't want her to call me a baby, but I guess maybe my mom remembered in some ways I may still act like a baby, but I need to grow out of it. And we need to become men and women and men and women for God. The Bible said in 2 Peter 3:18, I just quoted it, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. So God wants us to grow. Growth is a byproduct of birth. We've got this thing on our phone now where every so often it sends us memories of our grandkids years ago. And this morning even, I was watching one of Justin, or excuse me, watching one of Justin, had been a long time ago, but I was watching one of Levi. And he couldn't even talk good. He was saying bean. He wanted beans. And he was talking like a baby, but he sure has changed. He's grown up. But you know what? God wants us to grow up and spiritually mature. And I'm not saying you can't have fun. Could I say to you, I ran the gamut of going away from God. And I promise you, when I came back to God, I've had more fun than I've ever had in my lifetime serving God. I'm not going to stand here this morning and paint to you a picture of drudgery and going through heartaches and all those things, although we may experience some of those things. The fact of it is, it's good to serve God. It's good to be faithful to God in every area of our life. Immaturity is not in God's plan. God wants every one of us to grow up. And especially at your stage in life, you're going off to college or whatever it is you do, God's looking for you to take what you've learned from Sunday school, take from you what you've learned from your parents, take what you've learned through life's lessons and apply it in your life to where it's not that you can't have fun anymore, but it's just that you're going to have fun in the Lord Jesus Christ and grow in Him. What is God's plan? God's plan is for us as Christians to do what He set out to do, and that was to reach a lost and dying world. He said in Matthew 28, He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth." Yes, even as young people. And by the way, young people can probably reach young people better than I can. I'm a little older now, and people look at me perhaps as an old man. No, it's not so, but they say I am. But the fact of it is, they look at me as being an old man. But I'm going to tell you, there's some wisdom that comes by growing old. And it's a lot better to obtain the wisdom while you're young. And I say this again, I got so much to say, I'm going to have to just move right through this morning. But I'm going to tell you, it's better to go through life and mature and stay out of trouble and do what the things that are right and obey the Word of God than to find yourselves in circumstances that will scar you for the rest of your life. And God forgives. Yes, I hear people all the time, "I'm going to do what I want to do because God forgives." If you have that attitude, you might want to check and be sure that He's forgiven you of your sin, because I don't believe a person that is saved by the grace of God will have that attitude. I believe today we will sin, all sin, and we go through life sinning. The Bible said again in Hebrews 5:12-13, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." In other words, you get to the point to where you get into the meat of the word. He says you're still a babe. And young people today, what the world needs, and I mean this with all my heart, and that's why I appreciate Brother Brian working with the young people. I appreciate Kelly and Tom and Becky and them working with the juniors and all the work that goes into them. But I'm going to tell you, we're investing in lives because we want to see their lives changed and maturity come in their life. They need to be in the house of God. They need to have parents that want them in the house of God and will do everything they can to get them here, because I'm not saying they may still turn out good, but the good chances are without the influence of the Word of God, without the influence of the world, they may end up in trouble. I'm telling you, God has a plan for your life. Seek God's plan. Second of all, there's a provision. Look in verse 2 of chapter 2. I want you to see the second phrase. He says that He's given us what we need to grow. What is it? The sincere milk of the Word. like breast milk or formula milk, I assure you that it has all the vitamins and things you need to grow to be a healthy child. The Word of God has all that and more. The Word of God has everything we need to nourish us, to help us grow and be what we need to be in order that we might be strong in the Lord. You see, the Word of God gives you a strong back. It gives you good feet, good hands, strong stomach, healthy ears, eyes, tongue, heart, and mind. Somebody said, well, I don't know about that preacher. Well, when you get older, you know, they get a little worse. But I believe God gives you everything you need. The Bible said in Matthew 4:4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Listen, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Friend, I tell you today, we cannot advance and we cannot be what we need to be unless we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Job chapter 23, verse 12, he said, I have esteemed. Now, this is Job speaking. You know what happened to Job? I have esteemed the words of his mouth and more than my necessary food. I'm going to tell you today, it takes food to live. But I tell you, it takes the spiritual food to live the kind of Christian life you need to be. Spiritually speaking, there comes a time when we need to move away from the milk of the Word. We need to move to the meat of the Word. You say, what's the meat of the Word? Well, it's over there in Romans and some of those places, Romans 1, and then you go over to Revelation, and there's things that are deeper, a little harder to understand. A lost man cannot understand them because he's been blinded by the things of the world. But yet today, we're given to him, and as a child of God, God will give us what we need. He says, you know what, here's the key. I tell you today, and I hate to say it, but more Bibles, there's more Bibles in the world than any other book. I'm sure of that. But how many of them sit on the shelf? How many of them are in the back up behind the back seat of the car or on the dash of the car? And that's not a good place for it when the sun's shining. How many of them are just there and we see them as we pass? They're of no value unless you study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you go to college, you're going to have to study. You're going to say, you're right, Pastor, I'm going to have to study. I don't know if I'll have time. You better take time. You better spend time every day, whether it's a verse, whether it's a few verses, you need to study to show yourself approved unto God. You know why? Because the Bible said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I wish today that you could erase my face from the scene. You probably wish you could too, but I think if you could erase my face from the scene, I wish you could just understand the true, unadulterated Word of God that He gives to us, because this is Him speaking. Not me. He's using my voice. But friend, it's God. But you know what? We despise the Bible. You said no, preacher. There's nobody here to despise the Bible. Is that right? What do you read it? You despise it when you don't read it. The Bible said in Isaiah 34:16, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. Now again, I understand there's other things to do. But I promise you, you have time to read your Bible as much as you have time to watch television, as much as you have time to watch movies, as much as you got time to do anything else. You have time to spend time alone with God in the Word of God saying, Lord, teach me. Show me the Word of God. How do we despise it? By not reading it. How do we despise it? By not hearing it. Now, I hope it's not the case, but some of you could have already cut me off a long time ago. But if you did, I encourage you to turn me back on, because I want you to hear what I got to say. The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 5:20, despise not prophesying. I tell you today, we all never tire of hearing the Word of God. Last week, we were in church Sunday morning and Sunday night and heard two wonderful messages. And I appreciated the pastor as he gave the message and as he preached to those people. But I tell you today, somebody said, well, I've heard you preached on this other Wednesday night. Well, a little bit, but not like this. But you know what? I don't care how many times you hear it. It's kind of like the preacher that went to the church and he preached on John 3:16 the first Sunday and the second Sunday and the third Sunday and the fourth Sunday. And they said, preacher, don't you know anything besides John 3:16? Why do you keep preaching it? We've heard it. He said, well, when you get it, I'll move on to something else. And so again, you got to get it. You got to want it. And then how do you despise the Word of God? By not reading it, by not hearing it, but by not doing it. The Bible says, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I'm telling you, you despise the word of God when you don't read it. You despise the word of God when you don't hear it. And you despise the word of God when you don't obey it and do it. There's a plan. God gives a provision. But there's a problem. The problem is found in verse 1. Not going to spend a lot of time here, but Peter warns the saints to avoid certain activities because he's convincing them that sin will destroy their appetite for the Word of God. Sin can be forgiven, but it can't be redone, or it can't be taken away. There are scars from sin that last for the rest of our life. All of us have them. And thank God today we serve a merciful God that forgives us of them, and I rejoice in them. But I sure wish I hadn't made as many mistakes as I did as a young boy. I would have followed in the Lord's footsteps. Children love to eat what's not good for them. They love Cheetos, Chicken McNuggets from McDonald's, Little Debbie fudge cakes, Grandma's brownies, and all the other things that grandmas make for them. You know what? It spoils their appetite. We try to be as careful as we can. Their parents have requested that we be careful not to spoil their appetites. And we try to be as careful as we can, and we do. But they like that stuff. But that stuff will destroy their appetite when it comes dinner time if they eat too much. You know, things of the world will destroy your appetite for the Word of God and for the things of God. The same thing is true spiritually. When we allow wrong things into our lives on a spiritual level, we'll have a little appetite. You know why faith? You know why church is so important? Because church is usually the only time that anybody is going to have the Word of God open to them and hear somebody preach it. Not everybody, and I'm not talking about those of you that read your Bible. But I'm talking about young people today that never come to church and never sit in a Sunday school class, and never spend any time in the Word of God. They'll never be able to grow and mature as they should until they spend time in the Word. And you know what? What they're getting in the world is destroying their appetite. I'm telling you, the world is worse than it's ever been as far as sin and all the things that are happening in our society and what our boys and girls are pressured with when they get to school and what they're going through. God forbid that we forsake the house of God. God forbid that we forsake the Word of God. I'm preaching to you today because I love you, and I want you to know that God loves you, and God wants you to do right and stand right and remember what your mom and dad taught you and remember what the Word of God taught you and stand true to the Word of God. You remember the prodigal son? Somebody said, oh, yeah, that sounds like me. The prodigal son said, Dad, give me everything that's mine. And he gave it to him, and he went his way. But I tell you, when he found himself eating out of the hog pen, out of the hog trough, he found out that home wasn't as bad as he thought it was. He found out the food was a little better, that he didn't have to eat the corn husk anymore. But I love what it said. Here he is. He was eating at the devil's trough, but he could have been eating at the Father's table. And I tell you today, you can go through life eating at the Father's table, or you can go through life eating at the devil's trough, but I guarantee you one day you're going to get as the prodigal son did. The Bible said, and he came to his senses. And I tell you today, by the grace of God, I pray that you'll come to your senses before it's too late. If you eat things that are bad, it'll destroy your body. If you eat things that are healthy, it'll help you to be healthy. It might not solve every ailment you got, but the way you eat helps the way you live. And likewise, it is with spiritual food. I used to go to my grandmother's house, and she used to feed me angel cake all the time. I didn't understand it, but I thought about it. I said, she knew I wasn't no angel, and I needed all the angel help I could get. And she always made me angel food cakes. I catch on now, and I remember what she was doing. I don't know about that helping you, but I know one thing. The devil's food will destroy your life. Take you down the wrong road. Kids have eaten so much of the wrong things that they have little appetite for the right things. You hear what I'm saying today? I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. The Bible said, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. I know somebody said, preacher, it didn't work. I did the best I could, and I understand. Same thing with the prodigal son and his father. But you know what? As long as your child's living, there's still hope. There's still hope, and they're in God's hands, and you have to trust them. Every child, every person needs to be careful what they consume spiritually, or I would say non-spiritually, because it will destroy your spiritual appetite for the things of God. God is not a spoil sport. He's not out to take the fun of life away. I honestly can say that I've had more fun than I've ever had in my life being a child of God. I remember as a youth pastor, and I don't have time to get into it, but we used to do some youth activities that I tell you just would blow you away. I mean, we would spend weeks preparing and getting things ready, and we would see 250, even up to 300 kids that would come and saw kids get saved. And we were reminiscing about that last week with this young girl that was a teenager in our church. We were rejoicing. I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now, if you know what I'm talking about. I'm glad today. I'm sorry for the things I did and the direction I went, but I'm glad God is a forgiving God. And I had enough appetite to come back to the place that I needed to be. The only way we'll become like Jesus and be useful for the Lord is to grow. We're going to have to grow. We're going to have to spiritually mature. There's a plan. There's a provision. There's a problem. Then there's a procedure. Look at the first part of verse 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Newborn babes. He says like babies. What is baby? Isn't that interesting? Babies don't know much of nothing. But as newborn babes, what do? They desire. Desire. They have desires. You know what happens when they cry? It's not always because they're hurting. It's not always because you put the pen in them instead of the diaper. Happens sometime. But they're crying because they have a desire. They want to eat. And when they get a little older, they want that toy. And I tell you, they can sure drum up a mess there. They can scream and pout. And, you know, isn't it? It's so easy, isn't it? Just give them what they want. But I tell you, it's probably the worst thing you could do. Because they need to learn that they don't get everything they need. Peter describes here newborn babes' desire. The word desire is something that ought to be relevant in every Christian life. A longing, an intense longing to possess something. Boy, today, we ought to desire the Spirit of God. We ought to desire the Word of God. We ought to desire the house of God. We ought to desire to walk worthy of what God has. You see, the Word expresses a demanding, intense, crawling for something, reaching for it, longing. Getting whatever it takes. When a baby is hungry, everyone knows it. The child wants one thing and needs one thing. And he will not stop crying until he gets what he needs. That is a desire. Peter's saying that believers should have some type of hunger for the Word of God. I'm telling you, if you're saved today and you don't have a hunger for the Word of God, there's something wrong. You need to have a desire. I'm not saying I don't realize every Christian don't live in the place they need to be and all are not as spiritual as they ought to be. But I tell you, if you're saved today, you ought to never neglect the Word of God. You ought to have a longing and a desire to love it, hear it, and heed it. Then we see Peter offers a description. He said, sincere milk of the Word. The Word means sincere, means pure, unmixed, and unadulterated. The Word teaches us we should never settle for a substitute. Only what God gives and provides. We must accept nothing less than the pure Word of God. I'm thankful for books that have been written. I have enjoyed reading them. But there's never been a book like this book, and there never will be again. I hold in my hand today without reservation, I believe, the Word of God. I believe every word from the first word in Genesis to the last word in Revelation. This is God's holy word. And when God speaks to you through that word, you ought to have a desire for that word and God doing something. You said, well, sometimes the word tastes bad going down. It does. In fact, maybe some things I've said today tasted kind of bad. You said, I don't know about all that. But you know what? It's for your good. When I was growing up, you older people can relate. The only way I could get out of school was to play sick. And if I played sick, the only way to heal me was not going to the doctor, but was something in a little bottle called castor oil. If you have never had castor oil, please thank the Lord when you get out of here today that you never have. Don't ever give it to your children. Just don't do it. That is the nastiest, terriblest stuff I ever had in my life. And to top it off, they'd warm it up on the stove. They put orange juice in it, trying to make it better, and it made it bitter. But I'm telling you, that was the worst thing. But they claimed it was a cure. It was a cure. Because I didn't have to get it very often because I didn't play sick too much. Because I knew castor oil was on the shelf. You know, sometimes the Word of God gets us right here. We don't understand. We don't understand it all. We don't know why things work the way they do. We don't like it. We read the Bible and say, well, I really like reading the Bible, but I don't like that part. Let me tell you, you can't pick the Bible apart. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And as a man of God and a preacher of the gospel, I have to heed to what I believe God would have me to teach and preach along the way in order that I may receive, that you may and I may receive the blessings of God upon my life. Sometimes the word tastes bad, but anyway, it's for your good. Somebody said, stand for nothing less than the pure, vitamin-fortified word of the living God. Many are trying to live on a light menu. If you're going to grow, you're going to have to get some meat on the plate. You're going to have to get into it. That's why, and can I just put a little plug right here? Sunday school is important. That's where we learn a lot of doctrines and truths, Sunday school. I know it takes effort, and I know it takes work, and again, I appreciate those that are here, and I realize sometimes maybe people can only come to one service because of sickness, but I'm going to tell you, I appreciate our Sunday school teachers that labor. And I tell you, if you're sitting in a Sunday school class, and I know you do, thank the Lord for your teacher. Respect what he says or she says and obey it because it's the truth of the Word of God, and God will bless you for it. Eat well from the Lord's table, and you'll grow to be a strong, faithful, dependable Christian. Eat from the world's table, you'll never develop spirituality. You'll be weak, anemic, and powerless. Do you feel more satisfied after you watch a good movie or after you go to church? That's a question, isn't it? Are you more satisfied after you watch a good movie or after you go to church? I tell you today, do you know more about your favorite star, movie star, or sports than you know about God's book? That's another good question. All I'm saying is get hungry for the things of God. There's plenty to go around. I tell you, when we have homecoming, there's plenty of food. Nobody leaves hungry. Today you can leave the Lord's table just as full as you can get. And He'll bless you for it. My counsel is for you today to throw away all the junk food you consume day after day and fill the cupboard of your soul with the Word of God. Allow God speak to your heart to help you to grow and become the child of God you need to be. You'll be amazed at how you'll grow. You'll be amazed at what God will do. And before long, you'll be a strong believer. We was watching the baseball game of the night, and one of the commentators came on. Susan said, look at his arm. His arm was about like that. He didn't get that way overnight. He worked to get that way. And I tell you today, isn't that a desire of all young men? They want to be muscular and they want to be strong and thank the Lord for them. And I'm not saying anything at all against that. But I'm going to tell you, to get strong, it takes training, it takes work. To get strong in the Lord, it takes training in the house of God, at the home. It is training in God's holy word and doing what He would say He would have you to do. My question today to the graduates, what you going to have for dinner? I'm not talking about today, but I'm talking about the rest of your life. Is it going to be solid, good meat of the Word that can help you grow, or is it going to make you weak and anemic and even cost you If somebody said sin will take you further than you want to go, it'll keep you longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you more than you want to pay. Friend, today, I love you, teenagers. Come to love you. It doesn't matter how long I've known you. I appreciate you. And I never want to have to. I will do anything I can to ever help you if you need me. But I always want it to be good help, because you spiritually have patterned your life to have a spiritual appetite. Doesn't mean you can't have fun. Doesn't mean that there's things you can't, there may be some things you can't do, but doesn't mean you have to quit everything you're doing. I believe God wants us to have a good time and enjoy what is said. Congratulations to the class of 2023. May you develop a spiritual appetite in your life in the days to come.